something.
I am saying things into my headphones, and they are being heard.
How's the sound, Devin?
John always sounds good.
John always sounds good? Mm-hmm. It's just me that always sounds bad. Get that smirk off your face, you jerk. Try and tell me I always sound bad. Whatever.
You've got a face that was destined for radio and a voice that was destined for print journalism.
You suck.
And writing skills of a 14-year-old girl.
You know what? Bite me.
See you later, LOL.
Welcome to another edition of Jedi and Germs on the Jazz, a weekly podcast brought to you by TornbySports.com. Torn by Sports, local teams, local coverage, real fans. I'm Alan Zog, the Jedi, and he's John English, the Germs guy. John, how are you?
I'm quite well. I'm enjoying the last day of the NBA.
Well, last 2 days, because tonight was one day, and then we play one more day of games tomorrow, right? Or today,
yeah,
depending on when you're
listening to this, it'll be Wednesday, so it'll be the last day. So I'm like talking in the future.
This is true. Yes, this is very true. And I didn't catch the games tonight. Anything that we didn't anticipate that would happen?
That we did not? No, it went about as expected. Boston won their home game against Toronto. The Pacers beat the Wizards, so their playoff hopes are still alive. And the Clippers are killing the Suns. The Suns were 38-33 at one point, and they very well could have made the playoffs if they could have just won the last 60% of their games. And instead, they've lost 10 of their last 11.
Okay.
So if the Jazz win in Houston, they will tie the Suns. And they will have to have a coin flip as to whether or not they'll get the 12th or the 13th pick in the draft.
And
now, who would have foreseen that when the Suns came in ninth place at the end of last year, and the Jazz are one of the worst teams in the league, that they'd be within a game the very next year?
You could rephrase that question, who would have seen the Suns doing what they're doing this year? And I'll raise my hand. I did. I did not want to buy into the hype of the Suns last year, and I didn't buy into it going into this year either. Now, the second half of the statement on that, I didn't buy into the fact that the Jazz would be where they're at. That's probably the biggest surprise right there. So,
well, yeah, they outperformed what I thought they'd do. I think my July column, I said they're going to be 37-45, and they're going to do better than that. And then when the season was about to start, I think I was more like 31-51. And now, at worst, they're going to finish 38-44. They could be 39-43. And, you know, that trading away Cantor was just the best thing. It's kind of funny now that the rest of the nation is learning that Cantor can't play defense. I was listening to a Simmons podcast where he had two other guys on there, and they were all just joking about how Cantor can't guard anything, and should the Thunder even bother bringing him back?
Yeah, you know? And that brings up an interesting thought. I talked to somebody at work today, Brady, and that's one of the very things he mentioned. He seems to think that Cantor will get his max deal in the offseason. I'm not sure I buy that yet, but there has to be some non-playoff team that will likely pay Cantor the max, but they're not going to go to the playoffs.
Oh, I don't think he'll get the max. I think someone's going to – I think he'll wind up getting a $12 million a year deal. His offensive numbers look great, but his – defensive deficiencies have become so obvious that I think that's going to scare some teams. And I, well, you know, who knows? if a team offers him $12 million a year and this other team feels like they really need to make a move out of desperation, like if the Knicks can't get Greg Monroe, maybe they throw $14 million a year at Cantor. I just know Cantor is not someone you can build around.
No. Well, and here's my second thought to that. If Westbrook and Durant come back healthy next year and play, you know, and are expected to play a full season and make one big run to the finals again, because you know you can't keep that core together all along. If that happens and nobody offers Cantor big money, it's likely that he'll end up right back in OKC, probably to finish out his final year on his contract before becoming an unrestricted free agent, wouldn't he?
He'll get an offer from somewhere, though. I don't think he's going to be able to just take one more year in Oklahoma. I think Oklahoma's going to have to extend him, or someone else is going to give him an offer, but I cannot see him going in this offseason without a new contract.
Does Oklahoma now, City match?
Depends on the size. If someone does like $15 million a year, I think they have to balk. They have to say, well, we have Steven Adams and Mitch Bagheri, and let's just see how this goes. Now, Cantor does something for them that they've been wanting, which is a consistent inside scorer, and he can provide that for them. And the reason they got Cantor, I mean, they knew about his defensive problems. I don't think they realized it was this bad, but they were planning to hide all that by playing him with Serge Ibaka the whole time. And so if you have Cantor and Ibaka and Durant and Westbrook and whatever stud shooting guard you want to have, I mean, that's a starting five that can outscore almost anybody. And maybe that's the identity that the Thunder take next year, is they just become like the top one or two offense in the league, and then the defense just has to be what it is.
Isn't that the way they've gone the last couple of years? I don't know that they've ever been a defensive juggernaut anyway.
No, but between Ibaka and Perkins, they've been able to hold their own. Now, with Ibaka out, since the All-Star break, the Thunder are the 28th in defense. They're just horrendous defensively. And a lot of that's because some of their stars are missing, but I mean, that's tanking defense.
That's just nasty.
And yet they're trying to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it hurts to have Durant and Ibaka gone. But, you know, other teams have lost some of their star players, and they've been at least able to tread water. And the Thunder, you know, they really, really needed that win against Portland last night. And that's helping them keep their playoff hopes alive. But they've really been stumbling as of late.
Mel, and unless somebody offers him this big outer worldly, you know, or over what he's worth contract in the offseason, I could see the Thunder bringing him back simply because he gives them one last shot, at least offensively, to go deep in the playoffs next year. I'm of the opinion the window for the Thunder is closing fairly quick. I just don't know how much longer either Westbrook or Durant stays there. One of them's going to bolt, and I think the Lakers could be the beneficiaries of one of them, likely Westbrook, for example, and you're going to see the Thunder in a position where the Jazz have been since Malone and Darren Williams and everybody ended up leaving. The Jazz had to find ways to start over again, and I think that the Thunder are going to end up be there in the next year or two.
Well, Durant, his deal will be up in 2016.
Right.
And there are a ton of teams that are making sure they have plenty of room in 2016 to see if they can tempt Durant away from OKC.
Right.
So the ownership company there, I can't remember who their owner is, but they know they have this window, and they know they have to prove to Durant that they're committed. Now, one thing they've done with Durant is they've shown their commitment to his long-term health,
right,
by shutting him down for the season rather than trying to hurry him back. They went ahead to go ahead and get that procedure done for him. They knew he'd be out for the rest of the year. And that's a kind of a sign to him that we care more about your long-term health than trying to force the issue this year when we know we're really not going to be able to make any kind of playoff run.
Right.
It depends what they do with Scotty Brooks. My understanding is Durant likes Scotty Brooks, but consensus around the league is just kind of growing and growing that Brooks isn't that good of a coach. He got them to the next level, but they need someone else to get them to that championship caliber. If Durant extends, then, I mean, you have next year with Durant and Westbrook. If Durant extends, then you only have one more year with Durant and Westbrook, because then Westbrook becomes a free agent. But that's really what all teams are going to be. All teams are going to be, we only have 3 or 4 years with these players because contract length is shortening. So, you know, there's not really much any team can do beyond 2 or 3 years of what's in front of them. Unless right. you're doing like the Sixers and you put out this 5-year plan. But, you know, Durant's the big concern. And so they're going to do everything they can to make sure they can keep him. And as long as they're winning, then they probably have a good shot at keeping Westbrook. If they lose Durant, then Westbrook will probably want to go the next year and everything will just fall apart.
Yeah. Which is still where I believe it'll end up being. But you pose some interesting thoughts on it. And that may very well be the case. So, I want to take a second. There's a lot of Jazz and future and things that I'm sure you want to talk about tonight, and I plan to, but I want to take a second and revisit our conversation about the playoffs last week for just a moment. Since they start Saturday, tomorrow being the last day of the season, last week we talked, and we talked about the Spurs, which I suggested could end up with the 2 seed. And John, where are they now?
2 seed.
The 2 seed. I'm not sure, unless they lose to, is it the Pelicans they've got tomorrow night?
No, I think is it the Pelicans?
Yes.
Who do the Pacers have?
The Pacers have the Grizzlies.
Ah, that's right. So yeah, the Pelicans.
So unless the Pelicans beat the Spurs tomorrow, the Spurs will end up with a 2 seed. And you're looking at a Dallas and Spurs matchup in the first round. Fun.
Yeah.
And if the Pacers beat the Grizzlies, which is not a far cry from a possibility, the Pacers are in the East and yep. are looking mighty dangerous with a healthy Paul George. And then of course in the West, if the Pelicans lose to the Spurs, then they would need the Thunder to lose their game tomorrow, which is probably not going to happen. So we could see the Thunder make the playoffs anyway.
I think the Thunder are going to make the playoffs. If the Spurs lose tomorrow, then they become the 3 seed. So why would they want to lose tomorrow?
Exactly. No, yeah.
So yeah, I think the Spurs will win and the Thunder will make the playoffs. And Memphis, if Memphis loses, that guarantees them the 6th seed. If they win,
they
beat Houston. I think they have the tiebreaker with Houston, so they'd go up to the 5th. And 5th is a really coveted spot because you'll have home court advantage against the Blazers.
Well, and if they win tomorrow, it depends on what Houston does in the final game against the Jazz. If Houston wins, then it doesn't matter whether Memphis wins or loses. Because Houston's
so
a game
Memphis
up on Memphis.
Is going to be rooting for the Jazz, and Houston is going to be motivated, so this is going to be a real test. I mean,
yeah.
From what Locke was saying this morning, it sounds like they might play Derek Favors and actually try to win that last game.
Well, and even more intriguing is that 5th seed guarantees whoever gets it home court advantage, because you're going against the Portland Trailblazers with 51 wins. So Houston or Memphis will have home court in the first round. So that game means all the world to both teams tomorrow night.
Yeah, exactly. Blazers cannot have home court advantage.
So
I'm looking up Memphis to see if they have tiebreaker with Houston. Let's see. They beat Houston there. They lost to them there. Lost to them there. Beat them there. So I don't know. I'll have to dig deeper because they're 2-2 on the season.
Well, I think the next tiebreaker goes to division record.
Oh, well then. Look at that.
And division record favors Memphis right now. Rockets have an 8-8 division record. Memphis 9-7.
And Memphis is playing the Pacers, so they're good right there.
Yep. They've got the tiebreaker, it looks like.
Rockets are playing Jazz. So that's not in the division. So, yeah, Memphis does own the tiebreaker.
So, I think it's either division or it's conference. And either way you look at it, Memphis has the tiebreaker. So, Memphis wins tomorrow. If Houston loses, I mean, this is an important game to both teams tomorrow. So
there are a lot of teams in the playoffs who have something to play for still.
Yeah, there is. The other thing I want to see happen is I want to see if Dallas can beat whoever they play tomorrow, because if they do, then they are they would be the seventh team with 50 wins in the West.
That would be the only motivation, though. Actually, okay, yeah, they do have one more game. Who would they play? Let's see. Let me pull up tomorrow's schedule. Mavericks play... Where are the Mavericks? The Blazers.
The Blazers.
It's a home game. It is a home game. I think they'll actually try to win that one.
Yeah, for their home crowd. And if they do, then again, 7 of the 8 teams in the West will have 50 wins, which, again, just reminds us all that the West is that much more dominant than the East.
Yeah, and if the Bulls win tomorrow, and it's against the Hawks, so who knows, then they would be the third team in the East to have 50 or more wins.
Wow.
There's your discrepancy. If the Bulls lose tomorrow, there's only 2 teams in the East with 50 or more wins. There's only 6 that are going to have at least 40 wins. Unless the Celtics win tomorrow. Who are they playing? The Bucks. That could be a big game.
So, and after tonight, after our conversation, I have a suggestion. Devin and I were talking about this as well. I wonder if we can revisit our post from a couple months back on our season awards and see if I say we revisit it, and Devin's in agreement on this. We revisit it and we reevaluate and decide if our decisions still remain the same, because much has changed since then. Is Steph Curry still our MVP? Is Bud Olzer still our coach of the year? Who's our sixth man? I say we revisit that post now that the season's over, because a lot has changed.
Okay.
What do you think, Devin?
Let's do that for our next.
Okay.
Can I do another post on that, or just bring it up and go over it on the podcast?
What would you prefer, Devin? You want to do the post or do it here?
I'd like to do it on the podcast and just run through next week. You know, we won't have any Jazz games to talk about, and I think that'd be a good way to wrap up the season and transition into the playoffs.
It's a good idea.
Okay.
So let's plan it for next week's show.
All right. Next week we'll do our awards.
Okay. So next up, what things do you want to talk about, John? We've talked about the playoffs
now. Well, I wanted to say that for the Pacers to make the playoffs, they have to beat the Grizzlies. A motivated Grizzlies.
Yes.
So that'll be tough. And if the Pacers lose, then that means the 8th seed is going to go to Brooklyn.
The Utah Jazz. Sorry.
Who have the Magic. The Magic have been a bad team, but Brooklyn is not motivated. And did you see the Paul Pierce interview about Brooklyn?
Yes, I did. Thanks to your tweet about it today, I did read it. Guy, he didn't say much, just one line, but one line was enough about Darren Williams, wasn't it?
Well, there was one line specific about Darren Williams and then the Nets team as a whole. I mean, he said Darren Williams could be an MVP caliber player, but it's just not what he wants to do. Which just, you know, screams about his work ethic. And man, what has he been doing over there all these years? Yeah. But then the Nets as an organization, like the entire team is just ready to quit. Which is funny because, I mean, you had Jason Kidd as your first year coach. And you had these old guys come in, and yet it was the old guys who were trying to push everybody else, saying, hey, come on, guys, keep trying. We could do something. And they got them all the way to the second round of the playoffs. And this year, the team, they got Lionel Hollins. They haven't shown that much interest in winning, and yet they're still going to fall backwards into the playoffs. Only this time, I think they'll get killed by the Hawks. I think they'll just, if Brooklyn's in the eighth seed, I bet they'll be swept.
You know, to me, that just screams something that Jazz fans, I think, have been trying to avoid, is just falling into that habit of mediocrity. I think that's what happened with the Nets, is they just got so used to being, you know, at the bottom that they finally have a couple guys come in that have that championship mentality, and it just wasn't enough to motivate everybody to want to do that. I mean, they had the talent there. The roster, I think, was there for a deep playoff push. But, you know, if you're just in the habit of losing, old habits die hard, I guess, is what I'm saying.
It also goes back to ownership, as we see, has taken a change too. But if you go to Golden State, yeah. Golden State had that same losing mentality forever and ever and ever till they brought in new management, new ownership, new mentality, changed it around, bring in Mark Jackson. Wait, did I just give props to Mark Jackson? Yes. For a moment.
Well, Mark
I did.
Jackson helped them lose that last year to keep their pick.
Yes.
I mean, they were almost a 500 team until the trade deadline, and then they traded away a bunch of pieces and tanked to make sure they could keep that pick.
And then,
giving that pick away. Got Harrison Barnes out of it, and then immediately like, all right, we're gonna try. I mean, they were the pioneers in this new generation of tanking. That yes. was the most blatant, over-the-top tanking we'd ever seen anyone do, and now it's becoming more commonplace.
And with all that, said, I mean, Mark Jackson, to his credit, did take that team the next year to, you know, 50 wins, I think, didn't they? So, or was it not quite first year?
They won. I mean, they got in the playoffs. And, yeah. You know, hindsight shows it was the right decision. It was the right move for them to go ahead and try to keep that pick, be really bad, get Harrison Barnes, and then play all their talent again. And they were able to turn it right around.
Yeah.
And they're actually kind of a model on what to do. I mean, Steph Curry was a lottery pick. Klay Thompson was a lottery pick. Harrison Barnes is a lottery pick. And then they traded for Bogut, who they knew was going to be out for the rest of the year, but they took the risk that he was going to be healthy the year after.
Who's also a lottery pick as well.
You look at Golden State's approach and how that's benefited them. And then you look at Brooklyn's approach, and Brooklyn has just traded away a ton of picks to try to get guys that are good now. But, you know, they've been the wrong guys. I mean, They got Darren Williams and Joe Johnson, and so they're kind of chained to them. Their only draft pick they've been able to hold on to is Brooke Lopez. Well, no, and now Plumlee's coming along. He's turning out to be a good player. But, you know, in getting Paul Pierce and Kevin Durant and doubling down on the win-now mentality while you're giving away your future, you know, they're in a world of hurt, and they're... They have no relief coming next year.
Billy King's likely out of a job out there soon.
Well, yeah. I mean, Prokhorov gave him carte blanche to do whatever he wanted. So Billy King went, yay, I'm going to spend all this money. And he spent a ton of money, and it hasn't mattered.
Nope.
Because he's building his team around a player named Darren Williams who has not been able to stay healthy. And now what we're hearing is he hasn't been motivated to put in the work to stay healthy or to help them help be this winning franchise. I mean, he had a killer instinct when he was here. And when he went there, it's you know, it's just kind of falling apart for him. And he seems content to just, you know, cash his checks and he makes the playoffs great. If he doesn't, fine.
Yep.
You know, and they're just going to be stuck in that next year.
It's pretty sad.
And the only chance at cap relief is if Brook Lopez opts out of his player deal. And then you would think that he's out of there. I mean, I guess they could offer a max extension, but do they really want to do that? I mean, with his health and just where their cap space is in general.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, but he was someone that they were rumored to be shopping around the trade deadline this year.
Yep. That's true.
But again, it goes back to Devin's point, losing mentality. If you really think about it, even when they were the New Jersey Nets, I know they're well loved. They've got a great fan base that loves them. They always have. But you can go back to New Jersey, and you can you can name probably what 3 or 4 years where they were any good, and that was the years when when Lawrence Frank.
Frank and then Byron Scott.
Yep, and Jason Kidd was their point guard when Kenyon Martin was their scorer, and they made it to the finals and got swept by the Spurs that year.
Well, they made the finals twice in a row. So
that's
I'm
right.
not gonna speak on the old Nets team. I mean, they were a really good team.
That's right.
They
they
ran into some really rough West teams, but you know, they were a good solid team for a while, and they just couldn't quite get over the hump. And I don't remember how they fell apart, but wasn't it Kidd and Kenyon Martin and who was their center? They had a good center that year, those years. I remember it was a really solid starting five, and you know, it felt like they were the new Detroit, because like once that was them in Detroit. Now I have to look this up.
Yeah, me too.
Let's go off on a tangent. Let's go off on a tangent. Let's go off on a tangent.
It's fun when we go off on tangents, right?
Of course. Oh, it was Jason Collins. I don't know why I was thinking it was some stud center they had. Yeah, it was Jason Kidd and Kenyon Martin and Richard Jefferson and Harry Kittles.
And Jazz fans will remember Mr. Donyell Marshall. And Scalabrine was on that team. Devin's over here nodding his head. He was jumping on that one right away. Scalabrine. Oh, and Dikembe Mutombo.
Rodney Rogers. Yeah, that was an interesting team.
Kerry Kittles. There's an old time. there's an old time for every old time name for everybody. Kerry Kittles.
Okay, that's
we're done with our tangent.
Far enough into the weeds on that.
All right, bring it back. So let's talk Jazz now. Let's talk about what to look forward to.
We have a very exciting offseason to look forward to. There are so many, it seems like all options are on the table with what they could do. And, you know, and it's not like I'm saying they're going to trade Gordon Hayward, but they have all these assets and future picks that they can trade. And they have all these guys on non-guaranteed contracts they can move. And so I anticipate that our core group's still going to be here next year. We're still going to have Hayward and Favors and Gobert and Exum. And I don't know how many guys, too many guys after that, I'm that confident will still be here.
Burks.
Burke and Burks, either of them getting moved if the right deal comes along.
I don't see Burks moving.
Burks more than Burks.
Yeah, I see Trey as an option. I don't see Burks going anywhere necessarily.
No, with him missing most of the year, that's probably less likely. I think they want to see Alec with this team.
I want my man crush sticking around for another
Trey, year. I think, is in a precarious position. I mean, on the one hand, a lot of point guards improve between year and two and three. On the other hand, if they could just get a veteran point guard who can be more reliable, then that could be all they need to get to the playoffs next year.
Bryce Cotton.
So who knows?
Bryce Cotton.
Now, draft night, I don't know, if you look at the caliber of players around there, we'll see if workouts makes us excited for anybody, but it's like Kansas's Kelly Oubre, UCLA's Kevin Mooney, Wisconsin's Frank Kaminsky or Sam Decker, those are the kind of guys who are floating around the 12th seed that probably be who Jazz look at.
I just tried to use my tactics, but you didn't hear me. But or maybe that was the wind blowing it on. But what about Bryce Cotton? His play of late. I mean, what's the likelihood the Jazz bring him back as a third point guard next year?
I doubt it. I mean, it's great that he scored 21 points. But he's maybe 5'9" if he's barefoot.
5'9" I mean, that
he's the same height and weight as me.
But can you two-handed dunk?
Yeah, he can dunk.
Yeah.
But he's so small that you just can't rely on that much for defense. And you know, I mean, maybe the thing is if Bryce Cotton's back, then that means that either Trey Burke has been traded and they brought in a veteran point guard and Bryce is their third, or it means they're content to just kind of sit on their youth, let it all grow another year. And of their three picks this summer, none of them is on a point guard, you know, and Raul Neto sits overseas another year. I mean, all that has to happen for Bryce to still be here.
Meanwhile, across the country, Muggsy Bogues is giving you the dirty, crusty look. That's all I'm saying.
Is he as good as Muggsy Bogues?
No. You just went on the little...
Your Honor, I rest my case.
Oh, gosh. All right. I got nothing to say back to that. You do rest your case, Your Honor. and Devin's going to do a post tonight and we're going to see it hit the stream tomorrow, or for those of you listening today, where I think he's going to address some of this conversation a little bit too. Devin's coming back to earth a little bit and suggesting that Jazz Nation do the same and temper their expectations for next year, because let's face it, the Jazz super exceeded expectations in the last half of this season without Kanter, you know, with Gobert starting or playing in all 82 games. And so a lot of fans, from what Devin saw in his point of view, a lot of fans have jumped the wagon saying, oh, we're going to challenge the top spots in the West next year. And I
look forward to reading that post, because I'm tempering nothing. I expect them to make the playoffs next year.
Okay, but making the playoffs? Making the playoffs as opposed to challenging the top four seeds?
How many people are really saying we're going to be top four next year?
Six.
Six people.
I only write for those six people. No one else reads what I have to say.
Your Honor, I re-rest my case. No, I think Jazz fans should be hopeful for them to make the playoffs. I don't think anyone expects them to be more than like a seventh or eighth seed. And all of that is, you know, said with the In Lindsay We Trust type of motto. They have so many things they could do this offseason. that I'm just trusting that whatever they decide to do is going to be a decision smart enough that's going to help get them to the playoffs. And I have enough faith in Quinn Snyder being here another year to have a full season with Gobert as the starter, to have Alec Burks back, to integrate these new pieces, to see all the young guys improve again for another year. I mean, it's just, you know, it's a great time to be a Jazz fan. I think the playoffs are there next year, and then, you know, we'll follow their growth to see how good they can really be.
In Lindsay we trust. Bum, bum, ba-dum, bum, ba-dum,
ba-dum, ba-da-dum. I mean, let's say the Jazz happen to win at Houston. Then they finish 39-43. And that's only 6 games out of what would have made the playoffs this year. If we didn't have such a bad beginning of the season, they would have been fighting for the playoffs this year. And so we've seen how good they can be without Kanter. They're one of the best teams in the league post All-Star break when you look at their offense and defense. Well, not offense, but their net rating and their defense and their record. I think Locke was saying if they win their game, then it's the fifth best post All-Star break in Jazz history. And even if they lose, it's the ninth best post All-Star record in Jazz history. I mean, you know, 35 years or however old this franchise is.
40 years.
And 40 years. And so, and since, even if they lose tomorrow, this has been the ninth best record they've had post All-Star break. And the Jazz, I mean, they've had a lot of winning years. You know, they used to be the perennial playoff team. They made the playoffs 20 years in a row or something like that.
Yes.
So, you know, it says a lot about what they've done in the second half of the season, and how much farther could they take that to have a full season with this kind of attitude.
Well, and Devin brings up a good point, and this is why I'm very interested to read what he has too, is you're right. They've played very well. They're just games away from the playoffs this year. Next year, I think expectations should be enough that they're going to be there. But here's my question mark going into next year. Question mark for me isn't around Gobert. It isn't around Hayward. It isn't even around Favors, unless with Favors it's how much better is he going to be even next year at the offensive level. But for me, it's other players. It's factors that will matter towards those wins too, because those three players I mentioned, they're going to get you somewhere, but not all the way there. And you have to, my question is, okay, and I think this is where Devin's going to go, Hood, his health, and then can he be a consistent knockdown shooter? Alec Burks, where's he going to fit into the offense next year, starter or sixth man? And then how good is he going to be, and effective is he going to be? Is he going to return back to the Alec Burks that we know, the guy who can get to the free throw line, the guy who can take double teams away from Gordon Hayward just because he commands a defensive presence on him? So there's questions like that that I think Devin looks to address with this article, and he can nod or shake his head or agree in whatever I'm going with here. But I think that's where he wants to go. And I think that's where the temper, the expectations can come from, or maybe not necessarily temper, but what to look forward to.
Yeah, I look forward to all those questions being asked and seeing what the answers are.
Okay.
Sorry, I accidentally unplugged there.
Okay, so you're right about things to look forward to this summer too. I know what I'm looking forward to, and I think I can assume that you are too. July, Rocky Mountain Review returns.
Yes.
You can.
Four teams, if I remember right. It's the Jazz, the Sixers, the Spurs. Who's the last one?
I don't remember.
Was it the Celtics?
Yes, Celtics. Okay. So it's going to be four teams can play each other. There's going to be a lot of interesting rookies and young guys coming in. We're going to get Marcus Smart. We'll have probably Kyle Anderson and Spurs. Sixers are going to have all kinds of exciting young players coming to town. And the Jazz are going to have whoever they have.
I'm going to look. I'm kind of hoping that Gobert will play, and I'm kind of hoping that Embiid will play. I would love that matchup, even if it is a summer league game.
That'd be fun, although I don't know how much Rudy needs to play.
Agreed. I don't think he will, and he probably doesn't. It would just be fun. We'll just have to wait for the season for that one.
He might do it for fun. I mean, Burks played his third year. But Exum and Hood, it'll be fun to watch them dominate summer league. I mean, they should dominate summer league. See if Tomic comes out, see if Neto comes out. And then whoever they draft this summer. I mean, I can't imagine they're going to trade away all three of their picks. I'm sure at least one of their picks stays and comes here.
Right.
So there's all kinds of interesting things coming into that.
I'm looking.
Sixers are going to have Embiid and maybe Saric, and then whoever, whatever, depending where they land in the draft, whoever they get, if they wind up with Emmanuel Mudiay or DeAndre Russell, or, you know, they're going to have someone awesome.
Yeah, they will. I mean, I'm glad the Rocky Mountain Review's returning. Granted, it is going to be at Energy Solutions Arena, which I'm okay with, although I did enjoy the atmosphere of it being at Salt Lake Community College years ago. But I'm still glad it's going to be back. And then, of course, the Jazz shortly thereafter head to Vegas for the actual Vegas Summer League. So young players are going to get a lot of playing time this summer to, you know, get their game ready as fall camp is shortly thereafter. And I actually think it's a good idea that the Jazz are doing both.
Yeah. I like that we'll have a chance to see it in person and then go to Vegas where there's more teams and more variety in what they're throwing themselves up against. Something else I'll be interested in is, are we going to see any changes to the coaching staff?
As in guys getting jobs, perhaps? Or you're thinking Quinn goes and goes after some of his own guys?
I think it's a combination. I mean, when Quinn was first hired, he was hired with the understanding that most of these assistants were going to stay. We kind of talked about this with Aaron Falk a couple weeks ago. But maybe with another season under his belt, maybe some of the assistants get offers elsewhere, and then maybe Quinn looks for another guy or two that's his pick to bring in.
Yeah.
Just something to think about.
No, that's a valid point.
They're going to have a new trainer.
Yes, they will. Kudos to Gary Briggs. I don't know if kudos is even proper. The man has been on an Ironman journey for so many years in the NBA. So I'm sad to see him go, but on the same token, I congratulations. The guy's had a wonderfully successful career, and he gets to retire and walk away and enjoy life.
Yeah, hopefully he just passes on his recipe for Magic Spray to whoever his replacement is.
Yes. So, did we cover everything tonight, or did you have something else you wanted to add or go over or something else still itching?
No, that's good.
Okay.
Let's end on that note of recognizing Gary Briggs.
All right. All right, folks, that'll do it. Look for the post from Devin tomorrow. Next week, on next week's show, we've already given you a preview, something we haven't done to this point, but we'll talk a little bit about our season awards. Now that it's the end of the season, we'll readdress those, and I'm sure we'll have more to come, too. We're looking forward to a couple of guests coming up here in the near future, so look for that. But in the meantime, we want to thank you all for listening. You can find us on Twitter. Tweet at Jedi and Germs, which, by the way, folks, that account is run by John. Yes. And he is a poorly paid intern for doing so. But please, when you tweet, it is John. It is not me. And no, I'm not talking to myself. I might do that on a regular basis, but not on Twitter. So follow us at Jedi and Germs. Tweet us at Jedi and Germs. John will answer your questions or comments graciously. Or you can tweet me. What's that?
I forgot. I was going to have Lost Taco Vendor come on, but we're out of time. So next time.
Oh.
Sorry about that.
Were you really?
Yeah, but I'll get him next time.
All right.
You can play the What's Up With That music right here.
It's What's Up With That.
Nice. But yes, you could tweet myself at Jedi Zog and John's personal account at Germs Guy. Download us on iTunes and Stitcher. Continue to listen to us on iTunes and Stitcher. We appreciate that. There's opportunity to leave your comments, to rate us, give us good ratings. We always appreciate that. And we always want to thank you for listening and for being with us and giving us your time. And as always, we thank our producer, Mr. Devin Masters, Torn by Devin, for always putting together a final production on this and making it happen each week in his lovely home. So that wraps up Jedi and Germs. We'll talk at you next week. John, take us out.
Bye, everybody.